The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 10. Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. In the name of Christ, the coming one. Our reading deals with themes of the season of Advent, but it does not do this by way of a concrete narrative account that tells a Bible story relating to Advent. There is nothing here, for instance, about the coming of John the Baptist, the Advent forerunner of the Christ, who he was or what he did. And there's nothing here about the announcement to the Virgin Mary that she would become the mother of the Savior. Rather, our reading deals with Advent by way of concepts associated with Advent, concepts like the promises of God, the seemingly endless delay in the fulfillment of the promises of God, and the necessity of endurance in faith in the promises of God. Note especially these words from our reading. You have need of endurance. You have need of endurance so that you may receive the promise. This is what you especially need, the writer of the letter to the Hebrews says, to the faithful of all ages. You have need of endurance. Dictionary definitions of endurance include expressions like these: the capacity to last or withstand wear and tear, the capacity to bear up under difficult circumstances. Synonyms include stamina, staying power, perseverance, tenacity, true grit. You have need of endurance. Why the emphasis on endurance? Because we live in the midst of challenging, difficult circumstances that really can have the effect of wear and tear on faith in the promises of God. The promises of God have to do with liberation from sin, freedom from the curse of the law, deliverance from death in all its dimensions, spiritual, physical, and eternal, through the work of the one who would come, the promised Messiah, the Lord's anointed. But what do our senses perceive around us? And what do we feel within ourselves every day of our lives? We see sin. We feel the curse of the law that condemns our failures, and we sense death. In other words, we become aware of every conceivable contradiction of the promises of God. The circumstances in which we live are difficult. Dr. Martin Luther liked to point out how in the book of Psalms, we hear the words of the faithful as they struggle with what life offers them. In his preface to the book of Psalms, Dr. Luther says, "The Psalms enable us to look into the hearts of the saints and see what kind of thoughts they had in all kinds of situations, including difficult circumstances." What words do we find in the mouths of the faithful when we look into the book of Psalms? Well, there are two questions that the faithful frequently raise that are especially prominent, and they begin with the words, why and how long? Here are some examples of the anguished cry of the faithful that we hear in the book of Psalms. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Why do you sleep, O Lord? Why do you cast us off? Why do you hide your face from us? Why do you forget our affliction and our oppression? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Why do you withdraw your hand, even your saving right hand? Why do the nations taunt us and say, "Where is your God?" How does our experience make sense in the light of the promises of God? How do I make sense of the promises of God in the light of the many things that contradict them? What is the logic of this? I can't see it. And so the questions flow. Why? Why? And why? And another cry goes up from the faithful that we hear echoed through the book of Psalms. How long, O Lord? How long will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will you be angry against the prayer of your people? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? How long will the enemy blaspheme your name? How long will the wicked triumph? From why and how long, it is very easy to proceed to what's the use. The promises of God seem to be useless. But in the face of that challenge, the writer of the letter to the Hebrews reaches back into the Old Testament and makes an allusion to the prophet Habakkuk here. Habakkuk is known among the prophets of the Old Testament as the one who especially asked those very questions that we were just discussing. The first two chapters of his book are really structured around the questions, why and how long, O Lord? And the answer that he received by revelation from God was this: for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not delay. Now the just shall live by faith. And this assurance is the basis for saying, you have need of endurance so that you may receive the promise of God. St. Paul put it this way in his letter to the Romans: whatever things were written before, that is, the things that were written in the Old Testament scriptures, were written for our learning, so that through the endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might continue to have hope. Scripture, encouragement, endurance, the promises of God, faith, hope. These things go together. They interconnect to form the links in the chain of salvation. We will cry out from the midst of life's experience. We will say, why? This makes no sense. And we will say, how long, O Lord? We have need of endurance. Then hear the encouragement provided by the word: he who is coming will come, and he will not delay. He came once to win our salvation for us. He comes continually through his gospel and word and sacrament to give us that salvation, and he will come in glory to receive us to himself and make all his promises reality. The Christian church has for centuries used the words of Psalm 80 as its Advent prayer: stir up your strength, O Lord, and come and save us. Keep us steadfast. Give encouragement and endurance to us, the faint-hearted. And now let us pray for one among us who has fallen into difficult times. Cassie Scherer, a sophomore student here at Bethany, was in a serious car accident yesterday morning, and she is presently hospitalized in intensive care in Minneapolis. Let us all pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, by your gracious invitation, we commend to your care our sister in Christ, Cassie Scherer. We thank you for preserving her life during this tragic event. Give wisdom and ability to those who now provide her with medical attention. According to your will, grant her a safe and speedy recovery from these injuries that she may once again be restored to full health. Above all, strengthen her and her family during this trial through the promises of your saving word. Teach all of us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We ask it all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, ever one God, forevermore. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Amen.